Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, and welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. Right before this started, I told my brother to remove the water fountain that's in the background because it sounds like someone's taking a piss.
Nobody.
There's a cat water fountain. I know I can hear it in the background. So anyway, today we're going to be talking about a tweet. I know, like, this is going to just turn into a hater podcast, it seems like, because we're always just going
to
be talking.
It really has nothing to do with the person who said it.
No, it doesn't matter.
This is a real legit topic that we have always
we've struggled
since
with
since we were, you know, even thinking about medical school.
Okay, so we just released our crossover podcast with the Unbiased Science podcast folks, and which is all about Andrew Huberman. So anyway, he made a tweet the other day. I think it's fair to ask if the MD or scientist or public health official saying to do X or not to do Y looks and sounds healthy and vital. I avoid going to a dentist with bad teeth. What do you think? I sense diverging opinions on this. Yeah, great. I mean, this is if you look at marketing, this is a pretty good marketing tool to kind of really polarize the top. You pick a side. Yeah. You don't go in the middle, because doing wishy-washy actually doesn't do well, Marky. You got to pick a side.
Which is what I do, because that's how all science is. It's always
wishy-washy. So you pick a side. You have the people that agree with you will boost your algorithm with your posts, and the people that disagree with you will also boost it, because they'll start tweeting it and saying stuff. So what's interesting is that, like, I actually tweeted it, and so did you.
Well, did I tweet it, or did I do the Instagram thing?
You did a quote thing.
I can't tell the difference between tweeting and Xing.
You're a tweeter. You're a tweeter. Let's see. Let's go. So you said, we, the docs who lift, certainly once thought that all docs should look healthy, then learn that there's more to a clinician's expertise than the cover of their book. Like Dr. Nadolski said, that's me. Some people, despite you being Dr. Nadolski as well, some people look fit but take drugs like anabolic steroids. Health habits may not look it, meaning that, like, you can look a certain way but not be healthy. So, like,
right. Well, yeah. So there are tons of people who maybe look really good. They have really good physiques. The obvious ones being, you know, athletes or any fitness people who take performance enhancing drugs. That's not healthy. You know, taking anabolic steroids, not good for you, but they might look the part that they're talking about. And on the flip side, very obviously, is the, you know, just like patients who are struggling with their weight or other problems that they have. They may not have that stereotypical healthy quote unquote appearance, but they are absolutely doing all the right things and may be very healthy on the inside. That gets into the, you know, the healthy at every size stuff. And there are so many other things going on in life that, you know, there are things well beyond people's control that actually cause them to either be healthy or not healthy, and also maybe look a certain way. Do you know, one of my good friends who I went to, I went through internal medicine residency with, who went on to be a hematology oncologist, you know, Dan Bowers. We should have gotten him on this, because we had this discussion with him once upon a time, a long time ago.
10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was probably more than that, by the way. But anyways, and 12. his question, I think, you know, his point was something along the lines of, so would you rather have the most brilliant oncologist who absolutely can guide you to your healthiest journey battling cancer, who happens to struggle with obesity, maybe even doesn't have the best healthy habits, or the person who, you know, really does look that certain way but doesn't know what the hell they're doing?
It's a logical fallacy. Yes, it's just a classic fallacy. So I of course had to make a sarcastic quote, and I quoted it and said, or takes exogenous non-clinically indicated testosterone. And that's basically because there's a lot of people who basically take testosterone replacement therapy when it's not indicated. We've had many podcasts about when it's indicated.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Essentially,
they're taking
steroids.
Because if you don't have something to replace, then it's not replacement therapy.
They're pretty jacked,
There's also a selection bias with that, though, because those people are already they've been working out and all that stuff. They're just taking drugs to try to make it.
Right. So somebody looks a little bit more, has a little bit more vitality just by looking at them. Their shoulders are a little bit more capped and broad. They got a V to them a little bit and chiseled appearance from exogenous steroids. So let's listen to that person instead of the person who knows more. The reason I brought this up too is because Gary Taubes, if anybody knows who he is, good calories, bad calories guy.
He's a very low carb zealot journalist who pretends to be a scientist.
He definitely thinks he's smarter than scientists. So he basically he responded to you on Twitter and he said, "Who would you trust for advice about weight loss, the MD who lost 100 pounds but who still looks a bit out of shape, or the MD who is always lean, fit, and muscular and still is?" So basically describing you in the latter, the person who had abs in utero.
And you know what? I don't necessarily disagree with that perspective, because that's maybe a personal perspective, from a patient or anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think we shouldn't be judging anybody, to be honest.
No, here's what I would say.
I don't totally disagree with them. I've been doing all the healthy habits since I was a little kid too. So
here's what I will say. I would say that I don't really care who they are. First of all, bedside matter matters in medicine. So who I'm going to jive with, who I know has the best knowledge and who has the results and who follows, standard of practice type of thing. That's who I want to follow. I don't, whether they look a certain way or not, because here's the other thing.
Dan Bowers was saying, right?
But here's the other thing. There are a lot of people who use some specific method to lose weight and they become biased in their own right, and that's the way. Well, and you see this in the keto, and you also see it in the plant-based community as well.
Yeah.
But the keto world, there are some just absolute keto zealot doctors out there who they did it this way. So there is no other way. Right. And so
great that they were able to do it. And
yeah, strong work. Like good
we always
for
say,
you.
That's awesome. But then to say that that's the only way, to in complete disagreement with the body of evidence that we can use to personalize therapy for people is just really unfortunate.
So I would say that some of those people actually are worse than any of them. They're some of the worst out there, just from experience. So, it's an interesting topic. I would say let's take it for the good analogy is for football. Bill Belichick, he, doesn't look like he's a super athletic football player guy, but just obviously a mind for it. I mean, he had Tom Brady. I don't know. You want to get into
but you can go on and on about coaches, right? I mean, let's talk about, we're Spartans, and Tom Izzo, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. He's a little guy. I think he was a very good athlete. He played basketball and football and all that stuff, but he wasn't Division I caliber. What I mean? He's just an amazing coach. And you can go across the board on a lot of football player or football coaches and basketball coaches and even wrestling coaches.
Yeah,
that actually. So as we're wrestlers and football players, and that's a really good analogy. We know plenty of really, really, really good wrestlers. And in fact, I had a pretty good run. I don't feel that I'm a great coach necessarily. I think I have some benefit for some people, but there are people who are just amazing coaches. That's a whole different ball game, and it's very similar. You're right, to physicians and other clinicians trying to help people.
Yeah, honestly, it's just it doesn't necessarily correlate to them being good at whatever profession they're at. I mean, bringing it back to medicine, I think a lot of women prefer women gynecologists and obstetricians. However, for men, like you wouldn't be able, like they just simply wouldn't be at all good at it. So like, honestly, whoever's going to be good at it. And I think if I were a woman, I'd probably prefer a woman if I were having a baby, but like, honestly, who's going to get the baby out without harming it, you know, type of thing. And then, yeah, think about, you know, oncology, the person doesn't have to go and have cancer to be able to be a good, the cardiologist yes. doesn't have to have a heart attack to be good at that.
Well, so yeah, I guess that would be like us. Yeah. We don't have to have obesity. On the other hand, I definitely have heard of some patients, and I think there've been some mixed studies on this topic too. I'm trying to look them up as we talk, but, where, yes, yeah, some people have said, you know, at least anecdotally, that they like it when somebody has gone through what they've gone through. And I always tell them, you know, there are plenty of physicians who are struggling with obesity too, just like any other patient.
Yeah.
And they're really working hard. They're doing the best they can. And they may not look the part either. And they may not even had, you know, clinical success yet, but they're doing what they can do. So there's just a really,
yeah, a lot of my patients are physicians or nurse practitioners or PAs, physician. Is it assistant or associates now? I don't know. I can't. Whatever, but APPs.
Physician assistants and nurse practitioners.
Yeah, but they call them, aren't they physician associates now?
APPs and mid-levels. Yeah,
I don't know. But nurse practitioners, anyway. Whatever, clinicians, medical providers who are my patients who have struggled themselves and have been struggling forever despite their best efforts. And so, you know, we're all human. That's why we have, you know, the disease of obesity is pervasive and it's biological. Anyway, it's an interesting topic. This is kind of a short little podcast we want to do because of this tweet, and we've talked about this often. We've seen some studies that indicate that, hey, it would seem that those who exercise and did all that stuff, people would listen to them. But there some patients have told me in the past that they were very intimidated.
Yeah.
By me, because they looked me up and like, oh, this guy's going to be so much. Oh, and then he ends up being a reasonable guy.
Yeah,
I'm decently, just decent. Come on. But there are some studies, aren't there some studies that show one way or the other? And it turns out that one of the studies, I can't remember which one, but it was just like when we had this discussion 10 years ago, one of the studies showed that it's not so much that the person has confidence in what they're saying. It's that the person giving the advice is more likely to give that advice because they do it themselves. And so it's
not actually the physical appearance. It's the actual habits that the person has that are more likely to then translate into lifestyle
behavior change
recommendations and behavior change. Yeah. I mean, but there are other things. There's one study, a big, huge, you know, cross-sectional study that suggested that patients don't necessarily have a preference over gender other than the OBGYN thing.
What'd they say?
Definitely. Yeah. So in the OBGYN thing, they definitely prefer females.
Yeah, I would. I mean,
Most of them, about a third of people, of the females, did not have a preference. Only 8% preferred a male, which is interesting that there were some 8%. But in another study I saw, the majority of participants had no preference over doctor's gender for general medical stuff. But they did prefer the doctor's attire to be somewhat formal. And this is interesting for me with a white coat, because in our clinic, I actually don't wear a white coat.
Oh, because, they did say white coat. Actually,
well, you know, I'm sure that they're mixed data on that.
Huh.
But here's some, I think, some more interesting things. They said the doctor's hair dye, facial hair, piercings, and tattoos didn't bother a majority of patients. And, you know, there are a lot of people who judge books by the cover, you know, with those types of things.
Hmm.
And that's, you know, there's a lot of stereotyping out there for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, I think that was interesting. And then, of course, there are more research, you know, plenty of studies looking at the whole, you know, could the healthier, you know, the healthier than thou turn off patients kind of thing that you were just talking about.
Yeah, I've seen mixed results there.
Yeah. Right? So, like, yeah, I think those studies are mixed results. I think, you know, there's also smoking studies.
Yeah,
I think you know, that's a real habit that I think people tend to not want their physicians doing. I think it can go back and forth. This research I'm looking at looks at promoting that you practice what you preach can potentially backfire if it's an over advertisement. So I think that's kind of what I was saying to what's his face, that that was kind of our mantra back in the day. I mean, shoot, the whole podcast is called Docs Who Lift. We do want to promote the fact that not only we lift, but we want our patients to lift, and we want everyone to do exercise. But there is a chance that maybe that would backfire if that turns people off. So I guess I'd be interested to hear, maybe we should turn this podcast into a poll and hear from our followers. Like, what do people think?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it scared a few patients when you walked in with just your white coat on.
That also got us fired.
Again, for the 12th time? Anyway, this is a short podcast. It's actually interesting. I mean, again, most patients tell me like it's just bedside manner. Like I'm sure I can imagine being intimidated. Like, oh, what does this guy know about obesity? He's never had to struggle. Mm-hmm. But then they, see that I have a decent bedside manner. So it ends up working out.
Yeah. Here's one last little thing. Here's a conclusion for an article that's kind of looking at all these studies that said, instead of really kind of forcing yourself out there on your healthy behaviors, it says instead it should realize that doctors who don't advertise healthy lifestyles may appear more approachable to some patients, while super fit physicians may want to display compassion and understanding toward patients who do not find exercise appealing, which I think we do, and I think is important for everyone to do.
Yeah, except that you're
not to conform to stereotypical portraits of health.
Your biceps are bulging through your coat every time you walk in. They're like, "What is this? What is this guy?"
God, but it is. So for clinicians listening to us who are also very passionate about lifestyle change, diet, exercise, I think we do have to be very careful about how we approach that with patients, because if we turn them off, then we just ruined it, right?
Yeah, the thing is, I'll never forget when I was in residency and like smoking, like when you go in and tell me you need to stop smoking. If you know anything about motivational interviewing, they put up a wall and you're supposed to roll with the resistance, mm-hmm. and just kind of ask open-ended questions and all this stuff. When you start telling them not to do certain things without talking to them, that makes them more likely not to follow your advice. So I remember going in with an attending and, I asked whether this was right as an intern. Do you smoke? And the person said, "Oh yes, I do." And the attending goes, "Ew, gross!" And then walked out. And the person looked at me and looked, and I was like, "Oh my god, I'm so sorry." Like, they're so used to getting the finger wagged at them. And it's the same thing with obesity. Like, all right, have you? So the way you're supposed to go about it is ask, can we talk about this? Or like, I don't want to like lecture you if you don't want to talk about your weight or anything like that. So like, you ask about it. Same thing with smoking. Mm-hmm. And so you go in with compassion and not this holier than thou, like, all right, we're going to get you doing squat thrusts, hack squats.
I always joke with them. I'm like, I don't expect you to go out and start doing wind sprints up the dune. We have dunes here.
Except that's what you Michigan. Do.
I might do that, but I say I don't expect you to go with me and start,
I've seen you throw people on your shoulders and start doing those wind sprints. You're like, get on my back. We're going to do wind sprints up this mountain.
And I the same thing with the smoking. I even tell them, because I actually have some other issues with smoking in my clinic. So because of Graves' disease and osteoporosis. And so, I kind of say, like, I know everyone's trying to help you quit smoking. We all know all the risks. And I know it's hard. That's another thing. I think all clinicians should acknowledge that we understand that this stuff is not easy.
Yeah,
just like obesity. If you're addicted to smoking, addicted to anything,
Here's our outro. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities.